I want to see if you can maybe give us some clarity on the comments that really infuriated Maple Leaf fans of players saying, Mitch Marner in particular, but others of saying, you know, oh, yeah, we didn't start on time, a slow start, didn't go. Like, I've never played anywhere close to professional sport, but I don't know, John, like, I think for a playoff game, I'd be pretty fired up. Can you explain how that happens?
No, I can't, because you've had it happen. I've had it happen many times where you just come out and you're just flat. You don't have any mojo, and there's no rhyme or reason. And I know fans are frustrated. I get frustrated. Like, it's the playoffs, man. Like, you're fighting for your life. How are you not ready? But they just don't have it. And some guys just don't have it. And I hate to say it for Leafs fans, but it's pretty clear that those guys don't got it. So they haven't started well for, 4 years now? So I don't know what they need to do.
Yeah, how crazy is it, John, that I get it, that Mitch Marner's kind of the scapegoat in all this, hasn't scored a playoff goal now in 18 games, which is a long time for a guy you're paying almost $11 million. But if you trade Mitch Marner, you're just not going to get the value for him. How tough is it for the Maple Leaf fans to kind of, especially those ones who are so anti-Mitch Marner, to say, hey, we can't trade Mitch Marner away because we just won't get the value for him?
I kind of don't like when people call him the scapegoat, because it makes it seem like he's doing something right and people are blaming him and they shouldn't justifiably blame him. You should blame Mitch Marner. He's the reason that the Leafs aren't, you know, moving on. Him and a few other guys, but he is a huge part of that team. And he should shoulder most, if not all, of the blame. The defense played pretty well. Jack Campbell played pretty well. Like, they got production from the bottom line. They played good, their team. And Mitch Marner, he has to, you know, pull his end of the chain, and it's a pretty big piece of that chain that he holds up. And if he's not pulling, they're not going to win. So he shouldn't even be the scapegoat. He is the reason that they didn't win. It's pretty obvious. He can't go 18 games without scoring a goal. He is Mitch Marner. You know what I mean?
Okay, well then, would you trade him then, potentially?
If I could, maybe. I would go the other route. I would trade Morgan Rielly, and I would go all in. They've already have their identity for their team. Their identity is run-and-gun offense. Get rid of Rielly and go get a forward who can keep up with those guys. Just go all in. Like, we know who you are, Toronto Maple Leafs. You're a run-and-gun offensive team. Kyle Dubas structured you that way. Get rid of Rielly. He's the only valuable fit that you have. And go get someone who can just keep up with the top six. That's what I think. Just don't try to hide who you are anymore. You're not a physical team. You're not a grind-em-out team. You're not going to, you know, win a game 1-0. You're going to win a game 6-5. That's who you are. So go out and just get someone to kind of compliment those guys. That's what I would do. You know, you tried to go the physical route. You went out and you got all the right pieces this year. You still lost in the first round. So obviously that doesn't work. You need to go out, get a high-end skill guy. I know a Taylor Hall is out there. I don't think he's going to come to Toronto, but another guy who can, you know, make plays, facilitate Mitch Marner, John Tavares, Willie Nylander, those guys, and just go for it. Why not? You've already put your stamp on the team. Just go in, baby. Just go for it.
Just do it. Like John, it makes sense after seeing what we saw with the Maple Leafs. Because, as you said, if you looked after this offseason, Kyle Dubas checked off everything that he could have within the salary cap that Leaf fans wanted. You wanted veteran leadership? Yep. You wanted toughness? Got it. You wanted grit? Whatever. Okay. It didn't work. So, yeah, like, everything was supposed to be, but maybe it is time. Look, if you lose again, you're probably gone. So doesn't it make sense to go out on your own terms? Go out with that, as you said, all in, run and gun it, and hell, maybe it works. And if it doesn't, at least, well, you did it your way.
You go out on your shield. You know what I mean? He has a way he thinks that he can win hockey games. He has a philosophy to hockey. And why not just go for it? I think he can't try to please everybody. He did that this year, and he made. I was lauding his moves. I thought he just killed it. I think if there's going to be a GM of the year, it should be him. Like, he checked every box, like you said, but it didn't work. So if I'm Kyle, I'm going out. I'm just going all offense. I'm getting small defensemen who can rush up and get the play. I'm getting small forwards to facilitate. I'm getting Robertson in the lineup. I'm just playing offensive hockey. That's the way he thinks he can win. Just go for it. He's the Billy Bean of hockey. Just try to win the way you think you can win. Well, there's no fault in that, because Brendan Shanahan's behind him, and he has the support of ownership. And why not just go for it? Like, let's see if it works.
John, you played for a very short period of time for the Habs, but you were a teammate of Carey Price, and we know that what he's viewed upon around the league as the best goaltender in the world. And a lot of Leaf fans are saying the Leafs got Carey priced in this series. From a guy who has faced that guy and been his teammate, what does it mean to try to score a goal against Carey Price, especially in a big spot?
He's demoralizing. When you know you face a goalie of that caliber, you go into the game and you're already just behind the gun because you know you really have to do something special in order to score. And when he's on his game and his defensemen are playing good, and mind you, his defensemen played really darn good. If you watch the Leafs' chances, they didn't get that many grade-A chances. But when they did, Carey was there. His side-to-side movement is lights out. He's the best from post-to-post in the league. He gets square to the puck. He just, like I said, is demoralizing. There's no rebounds. There's no net to look at. And he's just a big body who is athletic and good, and he has solidified himself. There was questions for the last few years if Carey Price was the guy that we think he was. I thought he was, excuse me. But he's silenced all doubters. He's Carey Price. He's the best goalie in the NHL, and there's no one even close. Vasilevsky's good, but Carey Price is hands down the best goalie in the NHL.
He's showing up and showing out this whole playoffs and doing it the way people thought he might not be able to do anymore, and he is. In conversation with John Scott, retired NHL player, host of Dropping the Gloves podcast. And John, I wonder with the Winnipeg Jets, just sort of watching that series as it goes on, I don't know, I kind of get the feeling that with how good he's been, and with, like you said, sort of the play in front of him, not giving up just piles of opportunity, that the Jets players are trying to be a little too perfect. Is that also what can happen sometimes when you're playing that goalie? Like, okay, hey, I got a shot, but, ooh, I got to be extra careful instead of letting it rip, and then it's counterproductive.
That's exactly what it is. It's counterproductive where you think you have to make the perfect shot. You know, he gives you, like, an eighth of an inch in the top corner, and you got to go for it. Where in reality, all you have to do is just rip a shot on net. Hopefully it hits a body, hits a stick, hits somebody and goes in, or you pick up a juicy rebound and you bury a goal like that. But players, they don't think that way. They just think of, oh, my gosh, this goalie's on his game. I really, really have to be perfect. I have to make the perfect backdoor pass. We got to get him out of position. But the thing you need to do is just be greasy. Go high to low, throw a million pucks on net, and just see what happens. Because Carey Price, he's going to be in the position that he needs to be in. You're not going to beat him on, you know, a true one-on-one shot. You're going to have to get greasy. You're going to have to get creative. Just throw it from every angle. Brad Marchand's goal in overtime. It's just the goal shouldn't have went in. He just threw it on net, and it just goes in. Those are the types of goals you see in the playoffs. Carey Price every day, he just turning around, goes up the D-man six, goes in, top shelf. Like, it's very rare you see a clean goal go in on Carey Price. So you just got to throw it on net. Like, just that's all you need to do. You saw Blake Wheeler, he ripped it off the post. He thought he scored. And the relief on his face when he thought he scored was pretty funny. And then it was just like sheer terror, like, oh, my gosh, I still didn't score on this guy, and I had the perfect shot. So it's just funny. Like, these guys are just – Carey Price is in their head. He's obviously just owning the Winnipeg Jets right now.
John, you obviously played in the league, and the Habs look like a night and day team compared to being down to 3-1 and now winning six straight postseason games. We throw the term confidence around a lot in the NHL. When you're feeling it, when you were on teams that were just uber confident, what did that mean, even though that you were the underdog in a lot of these series and the Habs will be a significant underdog against the Avs or the Golden Knights in the next round? What does confidence mean, especially in the Stanley Cup playoffs for a team like Montreal?
Well, it's a double threat. You're confident and you're the underdog. So you're playing with house money and you're coming in on a real pretty good winning streak. So you're a dangerous team. You go in with no expectations and you have a ton of veterans and a ton of young kids and they're just playing lights out. It's fun to watch Corey Perry interact with Caulfield and Suzuki, and Kotkaniemi's having his kind of coming out party. He's playing really well. Montreal, everybody kind of was just all over them in the preseason because they made all these great moves. They made some good trades. They signed Anderson. And then they just started to tank during the season. Everybody's like, Montreal stinks. They're a joke. They got to, you know, sell everybody and move on. But this team is gelled. You know, they got a couple young pieces. Their young players are playing really well. And like you said, they're dangerous. I would not want to play this team if I was Vegas or Colorado. I would much rather play Toronto Maple Leafs or Edmonton Oilers because I know what I'm getting. The Montreal Canadiens are a wild card. No one knows what to expect. They can come out and just play absolutely lights out, or they can lay an egg. But the concept that they have is Carey Price. You know, and they have an identity. Their identity is their fourth line. They go out there, they play the game the right way. They're fun to watch. They don't give up anything. And they just play really fun. Corey Perry, Eric Staal, Joel Armia, Like, what a fourth line to have. Those guys are so good. They're a fun team to watch. They have no weaknesses. And, gosh, it would not surprise me. I can't believe I'm saying this. It would not surprise me if they upset the Vegas Golden Knights or Colorado Avalanche. As crazy as it sounds, it would not surprise me the way they've been playing.
Preach, brother Scott.
Yeah.
Preach.
So, no. No. I'm turning off the lights. Oh, boy. John, and you mentioned Corey Perry.
Well, I don't think it'll happen. I don't think it'll happen, guys.
Right, but it could. It could.
Sure, good.
That's the thing, right? It very well could. It's a good point. But you said Corey Perry, and that was a veteran signing. The Maple Leafs made veteran signings. I just, like, as a Leaf fan, I'm just trying to wrap my head around, why did ours not work with Wayne Simmonds, with bringing in Nick Foligno via trade, giving up those draft picks? Joe Thornton. Why did ours not work, and why does Corey Perry's? Why did that work on a Leaf team that skill-wise was vastly superior and really should have had no problem winning that series? Is there anything like why Montreal? Why did it work out for them and not the Leafs?
You can beat your head against the wall as many times. Yeah. There's no reason why it should work if you're Toronto. Like Wayne Simmonds, Foligno, and they got him. This is going to be great. Like, this is perfect. This is the final piece for the Leafs.
Yes.
And then they just go out and lay an egg. You know, Jumbo, I love him. I consider him a good friend. He didn't really play that well. You know, he didn't play bad, but he didn't do anything to make the team better. And it's just like, why is Corey Perry doing all this damage? So, I don't know. I really don't know. But Montreal, they hit something with Perry. He's playing so good.
John, are the Tampa Bay Lightning the favorites to win the Stanley Cup right now in your mind?
No. I think the Avalanche or the Vegas Golden Knights. Those two, I don't even think the Lightning are coming out of the East. I like the New York Islanders. I really do.
Ooh.
I think they're built well. I like their coach. I like their system. I like the Islanders. I think they'll get by Boston in the next two, and they'll just they will walk over the Lightning. But it'll be a good series, and Isles will come out of the East.
Well, they're up 4-2 after 40 minutes right now, Islanders on the Bruins, just for those keeping track.
There you go.
Yeah, see, you're already correct. And let's look at that Golden Knights Avalanche series for a second. It's like the Avalanche, so powerful, like, right? Like, such a great year and so many weapons, but certainly the Golden Knights not one to be overlooked at all. But it was sort of an interesting start to that series because Colorado came out 7-1, like, what? And then they won the other one close, and it just looked like, okay, all right, you know, this good job, Vegas, but Avalanche got your number. And now that Vegas has tied it up at 2, is there, like, I don't know, this one feels like 7 games and almost a coin flip at this point to me.
Oh, without a doubt. I said this on my podcast. It just makes me love hockey so much. It's like you think after watching the first game, it's like, gosh, this is going to be 4 games. It's going to be over. Colorado's going to walk into the Western Conference Finals. Then all of a sudden it's like, no, we're back 2-2. Vegas is a good team. There's a reason they, you know, tied Colorado for the President's Trophy. They're really, really good. So I honestly don't know. I think Colorado is more skilled of a team, higher end. They obviously have an amazing first line. Their defensemen are really solid, so are Vegas's. But I don't know. I think in a series like this, it comes down to goaltending. And Fleury is just so, so good. I like Grubauer, but Fleury's just got that it factor. You know what I mean? Like, he's just a stud. Mm-hmm. And if I'm going into Game 7, I'm going with Marc-Andre Fleury. He's my guy. And that's where I think it's going. I think it'll go 7, and Fleury's just going to steal the game. He's just so good, man. Like, he really is.
John, before I let you go, I have to ask your opinion on this. It happened earlier on, first game of this Habs and Jets series. How many games should Mark Scheifele get for that hit on Jake Evans, in your opinion?
One, maybe two. I think just for the sheer optics of it, because Evans was obviously concussed. It was a bad look. One, maybe two. I think four was excessive. Scheifele's not a predatory-type player. He has no history of this. And you can argue that it was a fine check. I know, you know, it looked bad. He charged the whole ice surface to try to finish that hit. But, like, it's, I don't know. What else is he supposed to do? He's trying to prevent the goal. It's a one-goal game. Their goalie's pulled. I would have done the same thing. It's hard to poke check the puck when you're going full speed. I don't know. I think one, maybe two. If I was the, you know, player safety guy, I would have given him nothing. So, obviously, I'm willing to feed a little room and give him one or two. But it's tough to give him four. It really is. Like, you change the whole series when you give the best player on one team a 4-game suspension.